Stranger in a Southern Land, Inconclusive Breakdown, Turnbuckle Throwbacks, Neckbreaker, and The Shining Wizards. These are the shows of the Shining Wizards Network, available on iTunes, Stitcher, Audioboom, and at ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. Entertainment here. There are many ways in which you can support the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. Head on over to iTunes or Stitcher Radio to leave us a review. If you shop at Amazon, visit Amazon.ShiningWizards.com and do your shopping through your appropriate country banner. It won't cost you anything extra, and a small percentage of your purchase will go to support the show. If you like to buy wrestling videos, you can click on the IVP Videos banner from our website, and you'll pay a great low price for all your videos, and again, we get a small percentage of the purchase. Lucha Loot, LuchaLoot.com. Every month, a brand new Lucha Crate shipped to your door. Use the code WIZARDS at checkout for 10% off your first crate. LuchaShop.com for all of your Lucha wrestling needs. Type in WIZARDS at checkout to receive 10% off. If you'd like to buy one of our logo shirts, visit ShiningWizards.com/merch or ProWrestlingTees.com/ShiningWizards for a vast array of Shining Wizards and Shining Wizards Network designs. Become our friend on Facebook at Shining Wizards. Follow us on Twitter at Wizards Podcast. Send us email at WizardsPodcast@gmail.com. Or if you'd like to see our videos, visit YouTube or Dailymotion and search Shining Wizards. The Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast is available on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audioboom, Google Play, the Shining Wizards Network, and of course at ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. If you'd like to see our live shows, visit our new live website at SWLive.net. If you'd like to watch us on Periscope, Periscope.tv/WizardsPodcast. From all of us at the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, we thank you for your continued support.
I'm here to stay and make a good lucha thing. God damn!
What the fuck are you talking about?
Ladies and gentlemen, we are live from across the pond, or the other sort of side of the world. Welcome to a live early morning edition in the United States of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, where, of course, my co-host at this time should know how this is finished. It's Wrestling Talk.
And talk about wrestling.
Tony!
Baza.
Beautiful. How are you, my friend? Good to have you on the show this morning.
It's great to be on the show again.
Yeah,
it's the second annual.
Yeah, hopefully this is a yearly thing. I kind of like this. This gets a good vibe.
It's, yeah, I do.
Nice and early in the morning. The sun's actually out today. A little bit of a breeze blowing across the terrace here. Good times. Good times on vacation.
Indeed.
Or as you call it, holiday. I don't want to be that kind of
holiday.
Dick. I don't want to be a
or
dick.
Or Holly Pops.
What is it called?
Holly Pops.
Holly Cops?
That's what the women call it anyway. Oh, you know, they're all fucked up in there, so.
Well, let me ask you a question. This is something I was actually thinking about last night in anticipation of our show. The word cunt gets thrown around freely in England. Now, I just wonder, is that word as derogatory to like call a woman as it is in the United States? Like, or is there another word that hits harder since you guys, you know, use that word so freely?
The one that would really piss the women off is slag.
Slag.
Yeah.
Oh, I kind of like
because,
that.
Yeah, it's just a word that basically you're just saying like they will fuck anyone. Oh, you know what I mean?
So it's kind of like a slut, but it's more, yeah, all right, I get that.
Yeah, you use slut, we use slag. I mean, like cunt just over here is just like a general term among the blokes, and it's a... Sometimes it's used as a term of endearment. If you call your mate a cunt, then, you know, it can be like, oh, you know, like you, if someone does something and you'd say like, oh, you fucking prick. you know, we'd be like, oh, you fucking cunt.
That's pretty funny. You know what I mean? Yeah, so slag. I'm going to have to start using that. That's actually got a cute connotation to it, a slag.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, sloppy.
A sloppy slag. I think we got our name of the episode. So we've been chatting, and honestly, I was trying to do some prep because I didn't want to just get on the phone with you and not have anything to talk about. But quite honestly, there's not really a whole lot going on. I mean, WWE had their drafts a few weeks ago, and there hasn't really been much of note since then. I know there's really not much in the news, but there was a when we get together, I like to touch base with you because you are following, of course, the England scene. I guess most of the promotions you follow cover the entire United Kingdom. Am I wrong?
I tend to follow the larger promotions in the UK. I mean, obviously, IPW is a big one that I follow down in my part of the world, along with Revolution Pro Wrestling. ICW, which is I've been actually attending their shows since the beginning of this year, and then there was Progress.
Oh, and thanks for throwing me under the bus with Big Damo, by the way. I appreciate
no worries, no worries. I look forward to you seeing him again.
You know what? I don't want to break kayfabe on him, but dude, he was just the nicest guy in the world. He was all kinds of awesome, and he got to team with the very popular Fala Ba. So it was kind of cool.
Oh, nice.
So many levels.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I bet that was quite something to see.
They had a singles match, which of course morphed into a tag match, and it was kind of cool. It was a whole bunch of like JR would call big slabs of beef in the ring at the same time. So it was kind of
nice to see them two bouncing off each other.
What was that? I'm sorry.
I'd like to see them two bouncing off each other.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. It was good times. There was another fellow in the match. His name is Ace Romero. I don't know if you're familiar with him. He's another big slab of beef. So they were just beating the hell out of each other. It was great. It was good times. It was good times. Good. But you wanted to talk about Progress and things that you currently don't like about the product. So the floor is yours. Let's hear what you got.
Well, my main issue is with the fans and the contradictory message that the promoters put across to the fans, which has stopped me from enjoying it, and I'm no longer prepared to put my money into following their promotion, which is quite sad, really, because the first show I attended was Chapter 13, which was Fergal Devitt's last appearance for them before heading to NXT. And that day, I went there to support a man, as in Fergal Devitt, and I left supporting a promotion. And I was like, how fucking good is this? This is everything that I want from a wrestling show. And then as time has passed, the whole culture and the message seems to have got lost somewhere. And I don't know why. I mean, in regards to the fans, you have, firstly, I feel that the management are far too involved with the fans. And because of that, I believe that you've got a situation, particularly at the London shows. I can't speak for the shows that they've run in Manchester, although I've heard very good things, but up there in the north of the country, it's a completely different fan base in the large part, for the large part. But it's like, where Jim Smallman, who's one of the co-owners and also ring announcer, I think that you've got a situation where the actual makeup of the fans has changed a lot over the last year because of where Progress run their shows in Camden. You've got a lot of what I refer to as white middle class social justice warriors.
Ah, you got those too.
Yeah, they're everywhere, particularly in the inverted commas developed world.
You know, and I don't want to turn this into a political debate, but I really do truly believe that the social justice warriors are the ones that have pushed this entire world into an awful direction.
Yes. And a lot of that is because I think that, and it does, for the massive part, it stems from the white middle classes, that they have some sort of fucking guilt complex. And they're pointing at everything that we should be treating as an equal. But by doing that, they're actually creating division by drawing attention to what they are telling everyone else. Well, they're different. When the rest of us fucking normal people treat these people from different cultural or ethnic backgrounds as one and the same. Does that make sense?
No, it makes sense how you explain it. It doesn't make sense in the overall picture. Like, it's nothing.
No.
It's nothing but a head scratcher. I mean, I don't think the world was so bad to begin with. I don't know about you. I mean, sure, we had our faults, but it's like you said, everything just, they feel the need to point everything out to us. And I don't think there was a need to point anything out, you know?
Well, one word, internet.
Yeah. It's a double-edged
sword.
That's
when it all started slowly tumbling downhill.
Everybody's got access. Everybody has a voice. Pretty much everyone has a podcast these days.
Yeah, definitely. But anyway, back to the main point.
Yeah, so let me ask you, just to clarify, do you think, just so I'm following correctly, you think it's management that's listening to the fans too much and not providing something on their own?
I don't think they're listening to fans. It's just a culture that's just came to be because I think that they're too pally, they're too involved. You know, a lot of promoters, all right, they'll have like the odd interaction with fans, but it's not like it doesn't get to that we're all best friends sort of level. You know.
Gotcha.
And I was putting it this way to a friend of mine the other night, that we all need, every wrestling promotion needs fans to go to shows and be part of the show. Yeah?
Of course.
Because without that interaction, you don't get the best out of the talent, because the talent will react or put more effort in. Not that they don't put any effort in, but they'll go that extra yard for you if you show you're truly invested and that you're truly behind them. The problem comes, which I think is happening at the Progress London shows, is when the fans start going there to be the show.
Well, that's pretty much everywhere. I mean, you take a look at WWE, you know, NXT shows, yeah. even like the main shows that are on television, the pay-per-views. It's the fans these days feel that it's all about them and what they say and that they can commandeer a show, which I don't have a problem per se with fans wanting to be involved and be there and let their voices be heard and whatnot. But it's a whole lot of, this is awesome for guys that just fucking shake hands or do a flip for 30 seconds, you know, like what's so awesome about that? Great. They're great athletes. It doesn't particularly make them that awesome.
No, but what I mean is like the fans, and I've actually recently had the opportunity, I've spoken to people from all facets of the wrestling community, fans, people, and people who work within the industry. And the overriding message is, or the overriding opinion is that there's too many fans at the Progress London shows who are chanting for themselves and not supporting the talent. Much like what you say with NXT and WWE. But I think a lot of that is because they're on TV and they're trying to get themselves seen or heard, you know? Because I've also heard that you don't get that so much at the WWE NXT house shows. It seems to be unique to the TV shows.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's necessarily a knock on Progress, but you know, typically, if you want to keep the fans' attention so they don't do that, that's the way you work it. But I mean, if they're going there just to, you know, be on TV and be a bunch of jackasses, then I don't know really how you deal with that. I mean, what is a promotion like Progress supposed to do? I mean, they're putting out great product. Their product really hasn't changed, right? I mean, they're still as great as when you went to see that first show.
Still put on superb matches. I mean, the storylines have gone downhill, which is a general consensus again, that the storylines have gone downhill since the end of the Jimmy Havoc Will Ospreay feud. That they really needed something to they needed something else to go into, and that should have been a storyline with a group called the Faceless, which absolutely died a death, because they had a great lead up, great promo videos. It was very much along the anonymous lines of, you know, and there was these videos going out that, you know, we are coming. And then they was unmasked. There was the initial reveal, which was at last year's Super Strong Style 16. And then they were tag team champions. They reveal them, take the masks off on the first day. Well, all by El Ligero. But, yeah, they take the masks off. And, like, there's that initial, wow, these are the Faceless. And then the next day, they take the tag belts off them, or the tag shields.
So,
and there's not.
Yeah. Then you know what? Then that's probably on Progress. I mean, what else are the people supposed to do? You know, I mean, I get it. They're being dicks. They're commandeering the show, but it sounds like a great story up to that point. And then, you know, pretty much like all the other great stories, they just change course and that's it. Done. Over.
Yeah.
I feel for you, man. I feel for you. Because I know you always had some great things to say about Progress.
Because I've talked to a lot of fans who go to a lot of other shows, and they feel as well that Progress, they've got a niche following. Because of where they are in London, they're getting a lot of like white suburban hipsters. And they seem to be the ones who are commandeering the shows with their stupid fucking chants, this, that, and the other. Well, and like I say, I've spoken to a couple of people, and they're like, no, don't get it. Why are they doing it?
Well, because it's that kind of person. They're entitled. That's their job.
Yeah. And like I say, I think a lot of it is directly connected to the fact that the management are too close to the fans. So they, you know, instead of being part of the show, they feel like they are the show, you know?
Which is unfortunate, like you said earlier, it takes away from the talent. They're not there to support anyone. They're there to put themselves over.
Yeah. And then we get on to, like, the little contradictions. Now, before this year's Super Strong Style 16, there was a thing going on where fans were making Progress flags, taking them to shows, which was well received. And I thought, yeah, that's something I could get on board with, because it, you know, for the on-demand viewer, it would give Progress like a unique look and lends itself to people can see a bit of English culture, you know, with the old football or soccer, as you call it.
Yeah, of course.
And because obviously something like that within a wrestling promotion would be very unique to the British. And then I remember one lad, I can't remember his name now, but he posted about, can I bring my football flag to hang up? And one of the other co-owners, Glenn Joseph, went on a long tirade about, we don't, you know, we've got connections with WWE now through the Cruiserweight Classic, because Progress hosted a couple of matches. And saying about, we don't want people thinking that, you know, we have a football culture going on here, or words to that effect. And I'm like, hold on a minute. You've got Jim Smallman, the ring announcer, who, for as long as I've been going, uses niche football references or niche soccer references for the American listeners. They've named shows after football-related stuff. Jim even used to read out the fucking football scores at the half-time interval at shows for games that were going on that day. And then you're telling fans, no, we don't want nothing to do with football.
You know, that is kind of fucked, because if it's that ingrained into the product, that's something that brought them notoriety. That's something that brought them out into the public spotlight.
And yeah, of course it did.
And just
and
to say...
Now that we've got our name up in lights, we're just going to fuck off everything, or try to fuck off everything that got us there in the first place.
Like, I understand. Like, I understand some things will change. I mean, it's the same thing.
Yeah, but when you're getting those mixed messages from the people who run the promotion, you know, what are the fans to do?
Yeah, I don't know, man. It sounds like it's just a big mess.
Well, I wouldn't say it's a big mess, but it's just, you know, again, I was talking to a friend about it the other night, and I was saying, because, I mean, obviously I go to ICW shows now because, you know, it works for me. I like their products. It gives me a chance to travel around the country, meet new people, have new experiences, which is something I wanted to do anyway.
Of course, and that seems to be something that you enjoy as a wrestling fan in particular. Like, I'm always seeing that, you know, pretty much every weekend you've got plans to go here, go there, meet up with certain friends that follow this promotion, that promotion. So you're more than just a fan. Like, you actually travel around to go check these things out, which I think is awesome. Just yeah. In case people are listening.
Was it last weekend? I done ICW Shugs Weekender. And with a good pal of mine, Shane Rowland. And it worked out an 1,100-mile round trip, doing three shows in three cities in 3 days. And it was just a fantastic experience. Met some fantastic people along the way and saw some great wrestling. And ICW does what it says on the tin. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
They're saying, like, this is our show. This is what we do. And everyone understands what it's going to be. I think Progress at the moment, it's a case of people are looking at it and you're like, well, who are you? What is your message? Because they keep, I mean, when I first got in, it was punk rock and pro wrestling.
Yeah.
But now it seems to be lattes and hipsters. You know what I mean?
Hipsters are taking over everything, my friend.
The gentrification of Progress is in full swing.
It's
what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that it has to affect something in pro wrestling. But then again, it's affecting everything else in the world. So, you know, why not?
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate that it's one of your favorites, you know, if not the favorite that you've had for years, Progress.
Shame. You know, I was going to the IPW shows locally, which I thoroughly enjoy, and it's something I can take my nephew to. You know, I've got him invested in professional wrestling now. But, you know, I wanted something for me, something I can go and enjoy as an adult, where I can go and let my hair down, get pissed, enjoy a wrestling show, spend time with friends, come on.
Yeah, call people cunt if you want to and not have to worry about the kids.
Yeah.
Believe me, man. I think
maybe another issue with it is that, you know, they're in a bigger venue now. And they have been for over a year or so, about 18 months, probably a bit longer. And the bigger the crowd, the more assholes you're going to attract.
We call that diversity in the SWJ, in the Social Justice Warrior community.
And, I mean, I'm happy where I am now. I mean, I'd like to go back to Progress shows again, but it doesn't bother some of my friends so much because they can switch off. But I've always been the sort of dude, I'm not one for sitting front row. I like to sit back because the crowd participation in the shows is brings my enjoyment for the shows out just as much as what's going on in the ring. I mean, you know, they go hand in hand, obviously.
Yeah, of course. Hey, do you, in all these shows that you've been to, do you have, I know, like, you probably know a lot of the regulars that go to the shows, but I'm sure you've met some characters over the years. Do you have anybody that, that you can equate to, say, like, the sign girls? Girls, that are, you know, people that are there all the time that, you know, maybe a couple sandwiches short of a picnic, maybe.
Yeah, there's a few. There's a few. Because there's a few people that you see at every show.
Yeah, it's funny. Since,
definitely. No, I mean, we don't really have the sign thing going on over here.
Gotcha.
But there's, you know, there's people who you see, people I see at most shows who are just, you know, they live and breathe professional wrestling.
Oh, of course, that's not a bad thing. And of course, I hope if the girls are listening, they know that I mean no disrespect to them. I just, you know, find them funny. Okay. So, who are you following? You're following ICW these days, IPW UK. Have you traveled outside of England to go check out any shows? Like, do you travel to Ireland? Do you go anywhere else? Or have you been pretty much just...
Well, obviously, ICW is based in Scotland, which is a different country if you're English. No, I haven't been over to Ireland. I'd like to go over there at some point to see Over the Top Wrestling. That's getting very good reviews. There's a... I'm currently trying... Well, my main problem is I'm fucking shit scared of flying.
Oh, for real?
Yeah. I mean, like, badly. If I was meant to be up there, I would have been born with fucking wings, man. And I'm trying to break that because my pal and I have done ICW Shugs Weekender. We'd like to go out to Germany next year for the WXW 16 Carat Tournament, which is a 3-day show.
That'd probably be cool.
It is the biggest tournament in Europe. So, yeah, that's something I'd very much like to do. I'm just building up the courage to attain a passport, because for a long time I've been of the mind, well, if I haven't got a passport, I don't have to fly, or I can't fly.
No, I hear you, man. Flying is a bit nerve-wracking.
I think I'd be all right once I got there, because I'd be like, right, fuck it, we're going to do this. But I think I've just got comfortable with the fact that, well, if I can't, oh, well, we just have to trot along as we are.
There's two things you have to worry about with flying, the takeoff and the landing. Everything else in the middle is fine.
Yeah.
Like once you're off the ground and once you're moving, it's like, okay, now I could enjoy the trip for however many couple hours. And you just got to make sure they stick that landing, and that's all there is to it.
Yeah, you can't do nothing else about the in-between bit.
It is what it is. I look at it like this. It's like, if something, God forbid, happens and this plane goes down and there's no survivors, it's like, I was actually either heading somewhere or coming home from somewhere that I probably would have never thought to have gone to had we not had flying anyway. So, you know,
yeah.
I mean, we're just about the same age. So it's like, I don't know. I feel like in my years, I think I've lived enough already. So what the hell?
Yeah, you probably will.
So what the hell? God,
I'd love to come over and see you guys sometime.
That would be tits.
I'll keep saying to like the dudes in there, I said I'd love to get over to New York and see all these fucking, and actually reach out to you and like be able to shake your hand in the flesh, you know, and just
I'm
shoot
telling
the shit.
You, if I can work it out, I tried looking into England this year. It was just, there was no way we could swing it with the budget we had. We really couldn't.
Yeah.
And we tried. The wife and I, we looked into hotels, we looked into flights, we checked out everything. We really, really were pushing to try to get to England this year, and it just didn't work out.
Yeah, that's a shame.
Well, I will be doing that soon, definitely. And I got to be honest with you, because I've been trying to find some wrestling here in Spain, and there's a great promotion out of Barcelona. I think, I don't remember what the hell, it might have been Barcelona Championship Wrestling, you know, of course, something generic. But they seem that they had...
The only one
go ahead.
No, the only one I know out there is, I think they might be around the Bilbao area.
Yeah,
called PWE.
Okay, that's still about 4 or 5 hours from where I'm at. That's a bit of a ride.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I was hoping somebody would tour. Like, you figure, you know, Spain's not really that big of a country, to be honest with you. I mean, sure, it is, you know, size-wise, but, you know, like, I've driven across.
Well, maybe to you, you could fit our country inside Spain.
Well, okay, fair enough. But, no, because we did a drive across the north a couple of years ago. And if we had driven straight, it would have been 10 hours. So, you know, in the grand scheme of things, it's not terribly far.
Yeah.
But, you know, it'd be kind of weird to, like, hey, guess what, folks? We're going to travel 5-6 hours to go watch wrestling. I think my wife and my kid would be like, ugh.
Yeah, and that would be like, what, by car or by train?
Oh, I would drive. I love the highways here. There's nobody on them, and you could do pretty much 100 miles an hour.
Drive it like you stole it.
The only people who really drive like assholes on the highways here are the people coming from France, which is odd because it's like, you're so far away from France. What are you doing out here?
Yeah.
You know, because I'm not, where I am right now, we're nowhere near the border. We're like, you know, I'm like maybe 3 hours north of Portugal. I'm on the western coast. So.
Yeah. Because I remember looking on the map, you're in the northwest. You're near La Coruña, yeah?
Yeah, we're about 20 minutes outside of Coruña, which is nice. Coruña is a crazy city, though. Like, the further you get into it, like, it's really, you know, Barcelona was kind of crowded, Madrid was really crowded, but for some reason, Coruña, everything just seems so packed in. Like, everything's condensed, the cars are condensed, the parking's condensed, the buildings are condensed. Like, it's really strange. It's not like a city I've ever seen, you know?
Yeah.
But it is what it is. It's no Philadelphia. I can't get a cheesesteak there, so whatever.
You like that? I imagine the streets are very narrow and the like.
Oh, of course. Of course. And the GPS from the United States is very helpful in letting you know which streets are so tight that you couldn't get your car down. You know.
Yeah, it weren't built for that, was it?
Done that a million times. Like, I know how to get to Coruña, and then I'm following the GPS, and I'm like, oh, maybe they know a better way. No, it's not a better way. It seems quicker, but it's really not. It's awful. But I'm just bitching about stuff to bitch about. Well, we are pretty much midday. I know it's about 11:30 where you are, since we're live at swlive.net, and it's about 12:30 here.
Yeah. You're about an hour in front of us.
Yeah, but back in the States, it's 6:30 in the morning, and people are probably just waking up going, what the fuck are these monkeys doing on the internet already?
Yeah, Phil Ray is getting up. Beating himself up about his shitty commute.
Of course.
Here we go again.
Of course.
All right.
Dude, someone farted on him the other day on the train. I was laughing so hard, I felt bad for him.
Yeah, I read that. He said, smelt like a graveyard.
Yo, when I want to get my girl naked, I flash the zoo bag.
Everybody knows when I'm excited when I wear my Zubaz.
Slide over that fanny pack and show that visible erection in your Zubaz. Zubaz.
Shining Wizards are happy to welcome Zubaz as a brand new partner to the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
If you're not wearing Zubaz, you're just wearing pants.
Zubaz.
We'll wear fucking Zubaz everywhere.
Are those Calvin Klein jeans you're wearing?
No, my brother. Those are Zubaz.
Dude, they have sock. They have a tie.
They have stretch pants, too.
They have a Road Warrior animal lucha mask.
Do you want to dress like the Sandman?
Then get yourself Zubaz.
They're so hot right now. Oh, yeah. Zubaz.
Zubaz. Zubaz. Zubaz. Zubaz. Get all the fly bitches wearing your Zubaz.
Zubaz.
The High Spots Wrestling Network is proud to become a partner with us, the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, to offer listeners one free month, that's right, one free month of the High Spots Wrestling Network. Go to the website and use the code WIZARDS, make sure it's in all caps, and all new accounts will gain access to over 2,000 hours and counting of premium wrestling content. The High Spots Network features top worldwide promotions such as PWG, Progress, RevPro UK, WXW, WSU, and highlights many regional U.S. promotions such as PWX, Full Impact Pro, NEW, the Queens of Combat, IWA Mid-South, AAW Chicago, and many more. Subscribers will also find hours of shoot interviews featuring all the episodes of The Kevin Steen Show and Old School with Steve Corino. They're also highlighting the original content that High Spots produces, such as documentaries featuring Jim Crockett Promotions, The Rock and Roll Express, and fan favorites like $5 Wrestling. Something for every wrestling fan can be found at HighSpotsWrestlingNetwork.com. For the low price of $9.99 a month, that's right, $9.99 a month, fans can stream hours of content to their mobile device, tablet, PC, or stream on their televisions through Roku. Check out the High Spots Wrestling Network today, HighSpotsWrestlingNetwork.com, proud partners of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
What's up, everybody? It's the Impact player, Mr. Phil Ray, inviting all of you to join myself and my co-host, Kid Newman, as we are from the current to the way back, the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, live every Friday at 9 p.m. on RantEMRadio.com, part of the Shining Wizards Network. You can go get our stuff at TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com, Stitcher, iTunes, Audio Boom, GeekLifeRadio.com, and search Turnbuckle Throwbacks on the TuneIn app.
Hey everyone, this is Justin, one of your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown, a weekly uncensored and anti-PC look at entertainment, pop culture, professional wrestling, and current events. We also do a weekly top 10 list and fan casting. You can find our show on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or the Satchel app for Android, or you can download direct from Libsyn. So come on out of your safe space and join us in the real world, won't you?
Hey, you! Yeah, you over there. If you're into professional wrestling, heavy metal music, and getting hammered, Neckbreaker Podcast was designed just for you.
Wrestling headlines, metal panels, and guest interviews with past alumni, including Suffocation, Eric Bischoff, Hammerfall, Chris Jericho, and many more.
Grab a 30 rack and listen to Neckbreaker on iTunes, the Shining Wizards Network, Stitcher Radio, the Blast Syndicate, or just grab the episodes right now from neckbreaker.net. Cheers and beers.
What?
Let's see. I actually put out to see if people had some questions for you, and surprisingly, we have a whole bunch of them, which is kind of odd because we don't get.
I've pulled them up in front of me here.
We don't get too many questions anymore for the show. I think people just want to fucking listen to us become a train wreck. But let me see. And actually, Ricky Kempster, he's a buddy of yours.
Yeah, a very good friend of mine.
Okay, because Ricky asked me, is this live? And I was just like, you know what? Why can't it be live? So I ran a quick test. I'm like, yeah, all right, let's give it a shot. It seems to be working okay. So, Ricky, if you're listening, hello, and thanks for checking us out this morning. Let me see. First question from Phil Dennett. Renfrew or Havoc?
Oh, that's a good one.
Yes, it is.
I don't know if you're familiar with Chris Renfrew.
Oh, a little bit. I mean, I know Jimmy Havoc more just because he was kind of like, you know, the Progress for a while. But familiar with Chris Renfrew, sure.
Yeah, Chris Renfrew, one of the RCW originals. And Renfrew or Havoc. But I love both their work. I love what they do. Chris Renfrew, he's, for me personally, he's got like a... he's got like a raven feel about him. He's very eloquent, but an absolute fucking nut job.
I thought that's what Jimmy Havoc was.
Yeah, but they got slightly different looks, didn't they? Jimmy Havoc is one of the greatest minds in British wrestling. I can't speak highly enough of him. And just because of that, and just because he's not from too far. Well, he's originally from Cambridge, so he's a bit of a fucking posh boy, really.
Oh, there you go.
But, I know that he spent a lot of his youth in the Dartford area, where a lot of my family come from originally. So, because of that, I would have to side with Jimmy Havoc.
There you go. I had a feeling you were going to go with Jimmy Havoc to begin with, but
yeah,
I'm always interested in your take on things. Let me see. Ricky asking another question. If you could meet any wrestler, past or present, and ask them just one question, who would it be, and what would your question be? This is a great question, actually. This is a really
It's a great question because there could be you could have 101 answers, couldn't you?
Absolutely. But, this is the kind of the question where it depends on your mood when you're answering it.
Yeah, it does. It does. But one that instantly sprung to mind was a man who was synonymous with my initial falling in love with professional wrestling. Because the first ever pay-per-view I ever saw on tape was the Great American Bash 85, which I think was at the Greensboro Coliseum in North Carolina, would that be?
Yes.
And outdoor venue. And it was like an extended highlights videotape. It wasn't actually the whole pay-per-view, but you had all the matches. I mean, some of them were chopped up a little bit because the tape was only just over, I think it was just over an hour long.
Yeah, that's what they did back in the day because the tapes just didn't go that long.
It was released as Ringmasters, the Great American Bash.
Okay, there you go.
And it was hosted by Gordon Solie and Bill Apter.
You know what? Those were probably the tapes they used to sell in the back of the Apter mags, like Pro Wrestling Illustrated.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I'm pretty sure they did. And there was one man on there who instantly got my attention, and that was Magnum T.A.
Yeah, Magnum was one of the greats.
I mean, for me personally, I mean, I know he didn't have the physique, but I still believe to this day that if it wasn't for that car accident, he would have been as big as Hogan. He just had that all-American look about him.
Yeah, and there was something about him. He honestly had that it factor where people gravitated toward him.
Yeah, they did. They did. And that match with Kamala is like, fucking hell. Because all the backstory was, could he pull off his patented belly to belly suplex? Could he actually get that on the Ugandan giant? And I think the match ended in a DQ, but he still managed to get it off. And I'll never forget at the end in the main event. Just before the main event, when you had Ric Flair against Nikita Koloff.
Mm-hmm.
Cold War was in full swing, and Koloff and I think Ivan Koloff came out and they started beating Dan on Ric Flair, and you had fans legit trying to get into the ring to save Flair. You know, that's how crazy it was.
Oh yeah, dude, Southern fans were absolutely nuts.
And they had to put announcements out over the PA system about, fans, will you please stay away from the ring? Fans, please stay away from ringside. It is brilliant. But my question would be for Magnum TA, and that question would be, what was your first thought when you realized you would never wrestle again?
That's a great question. I really don't know where I would go with this one, to be honest with you.
It's an emotional thing, isn't it? When he came around from the accident, and you get through all the initial bullshit, and then start thinking about life again once you realise I'm going to come out the other side of this, and then you realise the one thing that means the most to you has been taken away. What goes through a man's mind?
Yeah, it's happened so many times, unfortunately, over the years. I mean, the one that comes to mind, because I've been watching some old episodes of Raw on WWE Network, was Darren Drozdov. you know, and he was a local guy from New Jersey as well, and you know they stuck him in
that high probably resonated with you a bit more.
Yeah, I mean, high profile. They put him in with the Legion of Doom immediately, and of course they had Russo-rific storylines with Hawk trying to kill himself, and you know then they teamed him up with Matt Bloom, Albert
standing on top of the entrance while trying to commit suicide, pissed up.
Yeah. Fucking nuts, dude. You know what? Don't get me started. I'm pissed off at Vince Russo as it is. God, I really have to stop listening to Jim Cornette. I really do.
Well, they're just bitter old men, aren't they, to be fair?
I think Cornette more so, because I think like he saw the wrestling business change and not so much for the better in his eyes. Like he tells
it's stories. It's like when you have your favorite ice cream when you're a kid. And then you grow up and they change it. They slightly change the flavor. They make it a little bit smaller and it's not the same again anymore, you know? You're like, what the fuck happened here?
Cadbury cream eggs. Same thing. I remember they were amazing when I was a kid. Now they're small and they taste like shit.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, one question I could think of off the bat since you brought up food is I'd like to go into Vince McMahon's office and go, ice cream bars, what the fuck? Where are they? How come they're not back? You'd be making money hand over fist with these fucking things. Did you ever get them did you ever get them in England?
Considering their demographic, as you know, they've chucked their hat in with the kids and with families, you know, it's a natural, isn't it?
Did you guys have those in England?
I'm not sure. I can't say. I can't remember coming across them myself. But then I grew up in a little hick village, so to speak.
Well, let me tell you this, my friend. They were fucking delicious. They were amazing.
Everything was there because it's full of fucking additives.
Well, of course, but they were our additives, you know? They were World Wrestling Federation additives.
Yes.
You know what? Maybe I would want to ask Tom Billington, you know, if he has any regrets as to the way he, you know, treated himself, treated his body, you know, the way he wrestled, you know, the substances he used over the years. Because he's another fella. I mean, you know, legendary wrestler, but everything else outside of it just went to shit for him.
Yeah. Definitely, I pressed his own destruct button there.
Yeah, and it's fucked up too, because then he inspired guys like Chris Benoit, who was an amazing talent, and then, you know, all the issues that he went through all of a sudden.
Yeah, it was almost like, not to the full extent, but because obviously Benoit, you know, he idolized the Dynamite Kid, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. You can see that in the way he used to carry himself in the ring and the moveset he used.
Yeah,
and then it was almost like a repeat. If Dynamite Kid's life and how it's ended up was PG, then Chris Benoit would be the rated R, or in this country, 18 version.
As a matter of fact, when Benoit started training, he had met Dynamite, and he told him, he said, I want to be just like you.
Yeah, he just took it a little bit further.
Well, I mean, it's just so much with the concussion syndrome and, you know, this whole fucking brand new lawsuit that they're trying to bring against WWE and all this and that, and I don't know what to think about it, to be honest with you. I really don't.
I read a bit about that. I think it's just that lawyer, you know, he's had his fingers burnt once, and now I think he's just on a mission to try and find something that sticks, isn't it?
No, and I think you're absolutely right with that. However, where does everything go? Like, this, all this stuff is pretty much brand new, and I think it's a genuine concern. But where does it go from being the responsibility of the person being involved or the organization that's allowing it to, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's just so much gray area in this right now. I think it's going to be a long time before things get cleared up.
You know, these people, you go into these things knowing what the dangers are. The same as a boxer. I mean, are you still there?
No, I'm here. I'm listening to your point. You're good.
No, it's like a boxer, isn't it?
Trying to
file a lawsuit against the World Boxing Council because he got punched in the head too many times.
Well,
that isn't the World Boxing Council's fault. That's your fault for not honing your fucking skills correctly or not being good enough for the level you were trying to fight at.
Yeah, you know, and all the shit that Muhammad Ali went through, I don't remember ever hearing him suing anyone.
Yeah, and it's like a soldier going to war and then trying to file a lawsuit against the country he's fighting at because their soldier's fucking shot at him.
That's, you know? that's fucking insane.
It's all the fucking same thing, man.
No,
you know what? If there's danger involved and you know what you're getting into, you know what you're getting into. You know, if you don't know what the potential ramifications are for what you're getting involved in, if there's danger involved, then that says more about you than the people you're fucking working for.
Yeah, absolutely. Dude, I'm reading these questions again. They are just so amazing. I'm not even joking. Let me get to the next one. This one's from the Armchair Grappler. After watching your new favorite wrestling show, SmackDown Live, as they did the draft, I put you on the spot. Who would have been your top three picks?
Yes. Right. Now, seeing as this fucking prick knows that I don't even watch fucking SmackDown. And that's why he's fucking done it. But
of course.
I will try and put a business hat on for this one. And who will be my top three picks for SmackDown?
Yes, the blue brand.
Right. First of all, I think you'd be absolutely mad from a business point of view if you didn't have John Cena.
Okay, fair enough. Great call.
Because he's the fucking cash cow. He's the one all the kids want to meet. You know, and no more needs to be said on that. It's John Cena.
Yeah, and I think John was actually picked second by SmackDown. So you're not too far off.
Yeah, I think you're right. So I think you guys said, like, you know, why would you not have him as your first pick? You know, but right. No particular order, this anyway. Second, I would probably go with something that's relevant and up to date. Probably something along the lines of something for the older demographic. And with that, I'd probably go for a tag team. And the tag team will be unsurprising to everyone who knows me, and that would be the club.
Good call. Very good call.
Because, you know, if you're in your mid-20s up to my age now, 40 years old, you can get on board with the club, you know?
Yeah, as long as they're
our type of guys, aren't they? They're the sort of guys you can see yourself hanging out with and having a couple of beers and just start fucking having a laugh, you know what I mean?
Yeah, as long as they're not jobbing 50-50 to the Usos, I'm down with that. Fucking
Yeah, I still found that a bit strange when they first came in and started working with the Usos. It was I can't remember the terminology I use now, but it just seemed a little odd.
It's fucked up is what it is. Those guys should have been destroying everyone.
I think it's just because they brought in the club and, you know, they look like legit guys, don't they? You know?
Yeah, badasses who had a huge reputation.
Legit kick-ass, badass fucking guys.
Yep.
Whereas the Usos, you're like, it's a cartoon, isn't it?
There's no better word to describe them, a cartoon.
Yeah, it is what it is. And my third pick,
Charlotte.
How good was that promo she cut with Sasha Banks about the one night stand? I did see that.
They ruined Charlotte though. She was supposed to be like Ric Flair's daughter, and she's all huge, and The figure eight sucks, and I don't know. She's got a horse face.
Yeah. I don't think she's ugly. I don't think she's ugly, but she's not Eva Marie.
Well, Eva Marie's got none of the talent and all the looks, unfortunately.
Well, yeah. If you could marry the two, then you know, you'd probably have your perfect fucking women's wrestler, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you give him Bailey's titties and you got something. am I right? Come on, right. big tits, right? Am I right?
Tig old biddies.
There you go. So who's
I think Bailey's hiding them away. I think she's got a very fucking snug sports bra going on there.
You better be.
For fear of them doing some fucking damage.
So who would be your third?
My third pick. I like a bit of nutty.
So really?
I'd probably go with Rose.
Wow, that's a crazy pick.
Yeah. I was always a fan of the more... I did enjoy the crankier wrestler growing up. Cactus Jack obviously was a big one for our generation, wasn't he? They don't come much more sadistic.
Yeah.
I'll always prefer Cactus Jack over... Mankind.
Yeah, that's the funny thing. Like, he wasn't crazy about Mankind either, but you know what? He's one of those performers where he made it work.
Yeah. Even down to Dude Love.
Yeah.
the fans of, like, your Cactus Jacks and the like, and I don't think a lot of people was on board with seeing him as Dude Love. But in its own cranky way, it worked, which is what the great performers do.
And you know what's,
they take something, it works.
You know what's great? He's actually more conscious these days about trying to get himself in better shape. You know, he's lost a bunch of weight. He's been working out again. He looks like he's a lot more mobile than he used to be. So good on him.
And I think he's needed to do that. Just. Particularly on the weight loss side of things, because he's done so much damage to his body.
Oh yeah,
that he probably needs to lose weight and strengthen the muscles around his joints and that to give him some sort of support, give himself that extra mobility.
Hey, I know I plug it all the time, but that fucking DDP yoga, it's a lifesaver, man. It works.
Yeah. You don't need to convince me, man. I mean, all the stories I've seen and I know it's not just people blowing smoke up his ass or a gimmick like fucking Herbalife. But, you can see the results. The results are there in the public eye walking around in front of you.
Yeah.
You know, in the shape of Mick Foley, in the shape of Jake Roberts, in the shape of Scott Hall, you know.
Yeah.
Them men themselves are a testament to his message and what he's trying to do.
Banged up, beat up, and two of those guys were pretty much, they, people had them written off, left for dead.
Well, yeah. I mean, particularly Jake and Scott.
Yeah.
I mean, they were basically at a stage of their lives, well, let's get the tape measure out and size them up for their wooden overcoats,
Boy, you ain't kidding. There are quite a few times where people would turn around and go, yeah, Jake's still alive? And be like, yeah.
I'd love to meet him one day.
Yeah, he's a cool guy. He's really a lot of fun. We've had him on the show before. I've met him in person a few times. He's really a great guy.
Now that he's got his head in the right place, I can imagine he'd be an absolute pleasure to be around.
He's a fucking nutbag too. Don't kid yourself.
Yeah. You don't have a gimmick like he had and not have a couple of screws rattling about,
First day I met him, he said, all right, we'll take a couple pictures. He took one with me with his arm around me, and then the second one, he grabbed onto my tit and wouldn't let go. That's the kind of guy Jake is, man. He's a fucking piece of work.
Yeah,
let's see.
Yeah, I'll get that.
We got a couple more questions. Let's see where we left off. This is from Shane Roland. Would you rather wrestle 10 El Torito-sized great cards? No, it's okay. No, the wife's bothering. You want to say hi to Baza? You can say hi. No, you can just say hi. You can just say
hi.
That's the missus. He can't hear you.
Mrs. Tony Z.
Yeah,
or she's just called Mrs. Z.
And she's, no, she's, I call her pain in the ass. I call her slag. Let's see. So Shane Rowland writes, would you rather wrestle...
I wouldn't call her a slag. There's two people in this world, right, you don't fuck about with. And that's the one who pours your beer and the one who cooks your fucking dinner.
So she's neither.
As you were then.
Let's see. Would you rather wrestle 10 El Torito-sized Great Khalis or one Khali-sized El Torito?
Oh.
I got my answer.
One Khali-sized El Torito would be fun because it'd be like fucking riding a massive bull, wouldn't it? But I'd like to go with, I think, wrestling 10 El Torito-sized Great Khalis would be a lot of fun because it'd be like wrestling. It'd be like going in the ring against 10 midget zombies, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
The way that they'd be walking.
See, that's what I was thinking because it's like 10 fucking, like, I don't know, retarded people, for lack of a better term.
Fucking hell.
Sorry to all your British friends who maybe are on the PC train, but it is what it is.
Yeah, I'll get where you're coming from. It'll be like 10 kids wearing caliper boots. Chasing you around the ring.
Let's see. We got two
knocking
more.
Knocking them down one at a time. Watching them try to get back up. It'll be a lot of fun.
We got two more quick ones here. Let's see. We got an FMK, the gay topical edition. Vader, Will Ospreay, and Ricochet.
Right. I would. Fuck Ricochet.
Good call.
Marry Will Ospreay. Kill Vader.
You know what? That seems about right. That does seem about right. Vader's got to die. Vader's been fucking up too long. Fuck him. And let's see, the last question.
Actually,
something I wanted to ask
this
you
Friday,
about.
You've got...
Go ahead.
No, I was saying this Friday, you've actually got the Vader-Will Ospreay match at Revolution Pro Wrestling.
Ooh, are you going?
This Friday. In Bethnal Green.
Are you going to be checking that out?
I was meant to, but now I've talked myself into doing some extensive garden renovations. I need the overtime. So, sadly, I've had to give it a miss. But I did, yesterday, book off November the 10th off work because the stars of New Japan Pro Wrestling will be coming over again, and I'll be going to watch them at... the York Hall in Bethnal Green, again through Revolution Pro Wrestling.
Sounds good.
And Tamaki Honma's coming over, which will be a lot of fun watching him fall off the top rope, keep banging his head onto the mat. He's another accident waiting to happen.
So, you know what? This is a great way to wrap this up because, honestly, I want to know about this. I see this posted every day. Martin Kelly asks Chuck Mambo in or out of a trolley. What is that all about?
Yeah. Chuck Mambo. I don't know where the idea of this came from, to be honest. But Chuck Mambo, he's got to be in a trolley. He's got to be in a trolley.
Okay.
Otherwise, it wouldn't be Chuck Mambo every day, would it?
Fair enough. Holy shit, fair enough, my friend. That picture just cracks me up every fucking time I see it.
Yeah. Have you seen the one they put up today?
No, that one, I haven't seen it. Do you have it posted? I'll check it out in a little bit.
Yeah, I posted it, yeah. As it's a throwback, they've done it in black and white. I don't know who the... I've got half an idea who the mind is behind it, but I think it's got something to do with a certain Pastor William Eva. I may be wrong.
Fucking unbelievable.
But it seems, particularly on my timeline, that one picture has divided opinion, because there's some people who absolutely love it, and then I'm getting other people saying, why does this cunt keep coming up on my timeline every day?
I enjoy it. Keep it coming. I'll keep, just keep it coming every day. I enjoy the shit out of it.
No, it's good fun, man. It's good fun.
Well, Baz,
I think we love professional.
I think we've reached about an hour at this point, so I guess we'll bring this train.
We have indeed,
huh?
We have indeed reached an hour.
Yes, yes.
I've enjoyed it very much.
Me too, my friend. But before I let you go, I want you to get your social media out there so people who are interested in finding out more about the Wrestling Monkey can do so.
Well, you can find the Wrestling Monkey on Twitter at Wrestling Monkey. I don't use a Twitter account a great deal, probably because I don't really understand how to utilize it properly. I need to go on there and clean it up, really. And I seem to be following fucking 600 people too many. So that's something I need to get on so that I can actually utilize it to its full effect. Or if people want to follow me, if people want to come and join me on the Facebook, they can find me simply under Bazza Smith, B-A-Z-Z-A, and not B-A-R-Z-Z-A, like you fucking goons. Barza.
Well, I don't call you Barza, do I?
It's the way you pronounce it.
Bazza.
Yeah, which probably feels very odd for you to say it that way.
No, not really. Not really. It's got more of an Italian pronunciation that way, too. Well, kind of, not really. Like an American-Italian way, let's put it that way.
Because even like some of my mates and that, they copy you lot now and just call me Barza.
Well, I will make a conscious effort to change that, sir. I don't want to piss you off.
No, I wouldn't do it any other way. I quite enjoy it, actually.
Well, I'm glad you took time out of your schedule to join me today. I appreciate it. And I think it's been another successful...
Hey, you're honored to wake me up, my friend. It's been good to hear your voice again.
Yeah, good to talk to you too, sir. And perhaps one day we will have
my
that...
little wing up as well.
Perhaps that one day we will have that personal meeting.
Yes, I'd enjoy that very much.
Which means I'm definitely probably going to have to get on a plane because you ain't fucking leaving.
I'll do something next year. Small baby steps.
Of course. As long as you head the right direction.
If I can get that flight out to Germany next year, that'll just fucking... I need to do that break the ice bit, you know?
Of course. Get you going in the right direction.
Yeah.
Well, this has been a live edition at 7 in the morning for the Shining Wizards back in the States. But here it's midday over in Europe, and we are going to enjoy the rest of it. Bazza, thank you so much for joining me. As always, a pleasure, my friend. And we will catch
you. Thank you, Bert.
I guess we'll catch everybody in another week. Say goodbye, Bazza.
Adios.
Later, bitches.